have a belief in an afterlife or a firm belief in Jesus or really a belief in anything. And so they just go through life just kind of empty and broken. And so I want to talk about this morning just how we have a hope that goes beyond that, a hope that can inspire us to not even just endure, but to endure in a way that we're living for something that really counts. And so let's just open in prayer here and ask for the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would bless during this time here. We go through this Christmas season every year, and there's always, just kind of this weird wrestle to try to make it meaningful. And God, I pray that you would just give us just even a few words or a few thoughts that would help us connect with you during this season. And God, I thank you that you've given us something to live for. And thank you that we have a hope that goes beyond this life. God, we don't have to go through life just with life being pointless and empty. But we have a hope, not just a wishful thinking type of hope, but we have a firm, confident hope that's based on your promises. God, I pray you'd help us just to be able to lock into that this season here. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I remember as a kid just feeling like at Christmas time, it seemed like so many people believed in Jesus and were celebrating the birth of Jesus. I remember driving through town with my parents and, you know, at nighttime when you see all the Christmas lights and looking at all that, and just every time you see a house that's lit up, at least for me, I thought, oh, wow, these people are celebrating the birth of Jesus, you know, just like we do. And I remember going to downtown Council Bluffs where I grew up and just driving down the street, and there would be, you know, the Christmas tree decorations or candy cane decorations on the lamppost and sometimes garland strung through the city. And just looking, it's like, wow, the whole city is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And going to the stores, and there would be all the advertisements and decorations, and it's like everybody is celebrating this thing. And one of the things I remember the most, one of the fondest memories, of course, is the Christmas specials. I remember the, you know, Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was one of the best, and the Grinch that Stole Christmas, the original one, the good one. One of the ones that I thought was the most profound was the Charlie Brown Christmas special, because in it, they actually read the Christmas story out of the Bible. And so I would watch all this and be like, it's amazing. All these people are celebrating Jesus. And especially with the Charlie Brown Christmas special, because it's not just this vague notion of Jesus, but it's like reading right out of Luke, you know, that this is the Christmas story. And even though I would hear all this, you know, well, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, this people trying to help us remember that it's about Jesus, that was all going on, and it would make me think, oh, people must forget this. But still, it seemed like, no, we get it. We all know this. We all know that it's about Jesus. And I remember my parents trying to persuade me that, you know, not really everybody that puts up Christmas lights is celebrating Jesus. I'm like, really? Well, then why would you put up Christmas lights? Why would you celebrate Christmas? And I probably believed them a little bit. You know, I thought, well, maybe 10 or 15% of the people aren't really celebrating Christmas. And as I got older, I realized that hardly anybody was really celebrating Jesus. You know, that they really believed that Jesus came, that Jesus came as God in the flesh. And that they really believed that Jesus had led a sinless life. Not very many people really believe that Jesus came with a purpose other than just to preach some message of love and tolerance. Not many people really believe that Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not many people believe that Jesus said that he was the only way to the Father. Not many people believed in the Jesus of the Bible, and not many people believed in the Bible at all. And so, Christmas is kind of this really strange time where it's like we're celebrating this thing that our ancestors believed in. but that we don't believe in as a culture. And we still know it's all about Jesus, and even atheists know it's about the birth of Jesus. We understand this whole Jesus thing as it relates to Christmas, but hardly anybody actually believes this thing that we're celebrating. It's more like a fairy tale, like the Tooth Fairy or something. And so what I see is that our culture has just lost its faith and lost its hope. And so we live in a culture where people don't have hope. They don't have something to live for that's greater than themselves. And so there's just this brokenness that consumes us. Let me give you some indicators that we've given up hope. I think if we lived in a culture where there was no hope, I think there would be this disconnect, this wanting to escape. Because for me, I know when I go through a hard time, when I'm grieving, think of times in my life where I've gone through a broken relationship, or when we've had miscarriages, or we lost our baby, or we were extremely poor, just these really, really tough times in our life. One of the things that I tend to do to cope is to just escape. You know, like, okay, I'm just going to throw myself at my work because I can't think about my problems. They're too much. And so I need to escape into my work, or, if I could just watch a movie or just something to take my mind off of these trials that I'm going through. And it's a coping mechanism that I think is somewhat healthy. It's good that we can escape from our problems. But at some point, it's like, well, you actually have to work through them, and you have to deal with the things that life is throwing at you. And I feel like in our culture, things are so broken that our whole culture has turned to escapism. And we just disconnect from everything. Just think about the amount of TV that we watch. I think the average is something like 4 hours a day. That's crazy. I mean, and I'm not judging you if that's where you're at. I'm just saying, hey, let's take a step back and let's look at this. Imagine if you lived 200 years ago and you went out and you worked for 8 or 10 hours a day and you did your farming or whatever, shoeing horses, or whatever they did back then, and you worked really hard all day long, and then you came home and at the end of the day, you showered up and you got dressed and you went off to watch a play, see a play performed. And you went for 4 hours. Like, wow, that's a long play or a bunch of plays. And then you did that every single night, night after night after night. If you were looking at that from the outside, wouldn't you look at that and say, something's broken there? Well, what are you trying to escape from that you have to go every night and be entertained for 4 hours? Of course, now it doesn't seem quite so weird because you don't have to go to a play. It's just sitting right in our home. And we watch the play every night, night after night after night for 4 hours. Or we watch our movies or our video games. And none of those things are inherently sinful. I'm just saying, if you look at the big picture, it seems like we're trying to escape. It seems like we're trying to cope with this life that we can't handle. And I think it's because we've lost hope. And because we've lost hope, we don't have an inspiration. We don't have something to live for. Think about just in a culture where people have lost hope, I think one of the things we would expect to see is that just the value of life would change. Because if you don't have hope in the afterlife, if you don't have hope in this life, then what is life worth? And if the value of life had changed, what would that look like in a culture? What's that look like in our culture? What's the value of life when it comes to the unborn? What's the value of life when it comes to the elderly or the sick? What's the value of life just when it comes to violence? Or when it comes to a point where you're like, life's hard. Life is hard and it's pressing down on me. If there's not a hope, what do people do? They just end their life. I like reading about Antarctic explorers. I don't know why. It makes no sense, but how do you think they die? I mean, there's different ways, you know, they fall off cliffs, and I think, well, they freeze to death. They don't. Life gets so hard, and they go through incredible, incredible, incredible hardships, but there's a point at which they lose hope. And when they lose hope, they have a little pill case that they open up and they overdose. And they go to sleep and they never wake up again. Why? Because they've lost hope. They go through incredible hardships as long as there's hope. But when they're done, they're done. And I look at our culture, it's like, wow, there is no value in life because we don't have a hope for something beyond this life. You can look at depression. I mean, when there's no hope, you're depressed, right? It's like, oh, this stinks. And I'm not saying it's the only cause of depression. There can be chemical reasons, medical reasons, but still you look at our culture and how much depression we have. When we live richer than 99% of the people who've ever lived in the whole history of the world, and we're depressed. Why is that? It's not our hardships. It's that we've lost hope. And so we endure, but we don't endure inspired by hope. We just get through life. And so that's what I see in our culture, is our culture has lost hope. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, we continually remember before God, before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I look at our culture. It's like, man, we've lost that. We've lost a work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. And instead, we just get through life. That's it. Really appreciated what Blaise shared before O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Basically, he summarized the thing that I want to talk about this morning. When you think of the people who just historically were there when Jesus was born, they were just normal people crying out, you know, O Come, Emmanuel. They're going through their normal life struggles. And I think about them just as being ordinary people. I think about Mary and Joseph. And yeah, I think Mary was more godly than most, and she was an, you know, outstanding young woman. But I'm sure that she just had normal thoughts, like we all have normal thoughts. And before an angel appeared to her, she was just going through life and was probably thinking about her engagement, like young people do, and thinking about love and thinking about Joseph and when she gets to see him again and what kind of a husband he's going to be and what kind of a father he might be, and wondering how they're going to make it in life and whether or not he's going to be able to provide for their family, and what happens if right after they get married she gets pregnant, or what if they have 3 kids in 3 years, or what if they have triplets, or, you know, and, well, who are we going to live with, and are we going to live with his parents or my parents, and how are we going to get along with them, and how awkward is that going to be, and you know, just going through these trials. And they're just normal people with normal struggles. And I think about the shepherds. You know, they're not sitting around thinking, I wonder if the skies are going to be filled with the heavenly hosts tonight. You know, they're just watching their sheep. And they're taking care of them night after night. And they're, you know, did I hear a coyote? Maybe one of us should stay awake with the sheep tonight. Oh, it's really going to be cold. Maybe we should find shelter in this other place. Or the sheep seem a little malnourished, and where are we going to go tomorrow? They're just going through normal life. And so we can picture that, right? But big picture, how do they feel about God? So the Old Testament ended with they were in captivity, right? And then they were brought out of captivity away from the Babylonians, and they went into They went back into the promised land, and they rebuilt the wall. They rebuilt the temple. And then that's kind of the end of the Old Testament. But everything changes in that 400-year period. It's like everything's broken. Everything's messed up, and they're not hearing from God very much. And so the Romans have come in, and they've taken over, and people in the days of the birth of Jesus, they've got to wonder. It's like, where is God? And they probably all wondered that to some degree, and I say that pretty confidently because that's just the way people are. It's like, unless an angel's standing in front of you talking to you, your faith is decreasing. You know, it's like, okay, this angel appeared to me, and then like 3 hours later, it's like, I think an angel appeared to me. And, you know, it's just over time, we lose faith. For example, when the Israelites were freed from the Egyptians, you know, they saw all these different miracles and plagues and the death of the firstborn and the river turning to blood and these plagues of frogs and locusts and all these different things, all these miraculous things from God. And the one that always amazes me is when they went through the Red Sea and they went through the part of the Red Sea. Imagine walking through these walls of water. And then not very long after that, God speaks to them from the mountain and gives them the rules that they have to follow. And then Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments in stone so that they'll have these things to look at and to carry around. And so it's just, it's like, man, God's been really real to us. We've heard him. We've seen him do this stuff. It's amazing. Which is, they've gone like from the lowest low, from being slaves and feeling like, oh, God doesn't love us because look, we're slaves and life's terrible and they're killing our kids and all these terrible things are going on, to seeing all these miracles. God's done all this incredible stuff for them. And then Moses goes up on the mountain. And then they sit around there. Boy, Moses has been gone for a really long time. What should we do? Maybe God's abandoned us. Maybe there's not a God. Maybe we need to make up our own God. And they make this golden calf and they worship it. They're like, hey, look at this golden calf who brought us through the Red Sea. Like, you guys, this is just weeks, this is just months ago. And you've completely lost faith. That's what we do as humans. When we go through a period of not hearing from God, we start to lose faith. I think of Gideon. Do you remember when the angel appeared to Gideon? And he said something to the effect of, blessed are you, mighty warrior. Remember Gideon's response? It's like, blessed? What are you talking about? Like we're being beat up by the Midianites. And, you know, where is this God? Where is the God of my ancestors that they used to talk about? And I don't really see it. It had been like 7 years since the time of Deborah when God had done something really super amazing. But in real life, in Bible time, that doesn't, it's like dog years, you know? You look in the Bible, it's like 7 years, that wasn't very long ago. And we're like, oh, 7 years. That's a huge amount of time in real life, right? If you feel like you haven't really seen God in 7 years, that's tough. You know, and we're talking in Mary and Joseph's time, you know, it's like 400 years since the Old Testament. 400 years is a huge amount of time. Can you imagine if you're really struggling with God and you're like, oh, you know, it's hard for me to believe that he's really there. And so I have a tough time with that. And if someone were to say, well, George Washington, he had this miraculous thing happen and he heard from God. You'd be like, George Washington, what are you talking? That was over 200 years ago. I mean, that's forever ago, right? So in the days of Mary and Joseph, it would be really hard to have a confident faith. And you know, it's like, well, our ancestors said that this Messiah is coming, that this Savior of the world is going to come, and we've been waiting for that, and we've been waiting for that, and we've been waiting for that. But it would be really hard to still hold on to that. But some of them did. Think of Simeon and Anna, who were there at Jesus' dedication in the temple, that they had held on to it. I think Mary and Joseph had held on, people had held on to this. But it had to be tough, right? A lot of people. a lot of people had lost it. And so I think of in today's day and age, it's like we're living as a culture on the faith of our ancestors. You know, we celebrate this whole Christmas time based upon the faith of our ancestors. They used to believe this thing about Jesus, but our culture has lost this. And I think about Mary as she's cruising through life, having some of those same doubts just because she's human. And then one day, an angel appears to her. And then it's like, everything's different. And Joseph having some of those same doubts. And then one day, an angel appears to him. And then everything's different. And those shepherds, they're out in the field just minding their own business, doing their own thing. And a host of angels appear to them. And suddenly, everything's different. And the Messiah that was promised is no longer promised. The Messiah that was promised is there. They had a hope in something that was real, that was true, and that hope was realized. In our day and age, we don't have a hope that Jesus is coming, we have a hope that Jesus is coming again. But we're also sitting in a time where it's easy to look around and be like, well, where is he? How can he be there when all this terrible stuff happens in our world? 2 Peter 3:4 says, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Amen. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. This is really prophetic, right? Saying this is the way people are going to be in the end times. This is the way people are going to be before Jesus comes. They're going to be looking around and be like, well, yeah, our ancestors believed this, but where is it? Where is this coming? Where is this God? Our ancestors believed it, but let's be realistic. He's not coming. That's what our culture says. It says they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's an interesting passage. It talks about, it says, they deliberately forget that God created us. That's what our culture has done. We don't believe that God created us anymore. We just happened. We deliberately forget. Why do we deliberately forget? I think it's related to the next thing. It's because God's a judge. Because God judged the people in the days of Noah, and with water flooded the earth, and everybody except 8 people were killed. Because he's a holy judge. He can't put up with sin. He won't put up with sin. He'll judge sin, and we don't like that. That's an uncomfortable thought, and many people would rather just shut off God and forget God and be like, I don't want to think about that. And then it goes on, it says, you know, just like water destroyed everything in Noah's day, fire is going to destroy everything someday. There's going to be a final judgment. Just like people waited for a Messiah in the days of Jesus, or in the days of Jesus' birth, we're waiting for Jesus to come back again. And just like they could lose hope, we can lose hope. But just like their faith was in something that was real and true, that the Messiah was really coming, our faith is based upon something that's real and true, the promise that Jesus is coming back. And there will be a day of judgment. And our hope is that we stand in that day of judgment, not because we're so holy, but because Jesus came for a purpose. He came to die on the cross. He came to die for our sins. He came to die to pay the penalty that I deserved so that my sins could be paid for. And with my sins paid for, I have hope, not wishful thinking hope, but confident hope in judgment. I'm going to be found innocent, not because I'm so amazing, but I'm going to be found innocent because Jesus' sacrifice was so perfect. And that needs to be my hope. My hope in life cannot be in the comforts of this world. Life's too hard. I've got to have a hope that's beyond this life. My hope is in Jesus. And so this Christmas season, as you go through life and you look around and you see all these people celebrating this thing that they don't really believe, we don't need to be judgmental toward them or whatever, but just use that as a reminder. A reminder that we need to have a hope in something that other people have lost. We need to be able to endure through life inspired by our hope. And that will drive us. And so I want you to think about that this Christmas season. On your handout on the back is more verses on hope. I want to encourage you to study this out some on your own. And just think about if you've lost hope, if you're kind of going through life and you're like, yeah, I kind of feel uninspired. I kind of feel like I'm not sure what I really believe. I want you to chase that down. I want you to evaluate yourself and, like, do I really believe this stuff? And study out hope. You're going to start there and study through the scriptures. This stuff's real. I don't want to just believe something because I like it. I want to believe what's true. We have hope, the promise from God that this is real. We saw it play out as real in the birth of Jesus. We're going to see it play out again. There might be times that we feel like, I don't see God. I'm not experiencing him right now. That's just the way we are. We start to lose faith as time passes. But God's still there. He's still real. And he's still coming back for us. And so let's pray. The band's going to come up and do a couple more songs. God, we do just cry out to you, O come, Emmanuel. Jesus, I thank you that you're coming back.